Thank you. Thank you also to the organizers. It's been a very nice, very interesting talk during this conference, and it's nice to have an opportunity to also give a talk here. We have already heard this morning about the special role SLEA could plays. We all know that it's the SLE that satisfies the restriction property. We've also heard in talks the situation with multiply connected domains and what's the moduli that start to play a role. And what I want to talk to you about today is a particular calculation that I'm trying to do to find a probability, namely, so this is just for, say we have a doubly connected domain, and we have an SLE, a chordal SLE, 8/3 in this domain. And the question is, so to begin with, it's a simply connected domain. If you have a set in the interior, something like this, so that it becomes doubly connected, what is the probability that the SLE 8/3 will avoid this set? The idea how one could get at this probability, the approach I'm going to take, it's sort of based on a reading of some pages from from Vincent Beffard's thesis on, there is a section where it talks about multiply connected domains, and so one can use an argument that's being made there to sort of to get started, and then we'll start with that argument, in fact, and then it's also, my approach is also based on some conversations I had with Julien Dubeda about how to use this idea of the Beffard's. And finally, we'll have to use a Leuvenes equation in a multiply connected, or in this case, in a doubly connected domain, and that's something I've been studying with my collaborator, Roland Friedrich. So basically all my talk will be about SLE 8/3, sort of later on when I show you some of the calculations, I will keep the kappa as a parameter in the formulas for a while, so for you to better appreciate where the cancellations occur, what the kappa equals 8/3 throws out of the equations. Let me first go to this idea of spelled out in Beffard's thesis. The simplest case, we have here in the upper half plane, 0 and infinity, and we have an SLE from 0 to infinity in the upper half plane. Here's gamma, and I have a set here in the interior, a hole, and suppose the hole is such that, I have another copy of the upper half plane, and I have another hole. And suppose those two holes are such that I can map conformally the upper half plane, the outside, the complement of this hole in the upper half plane, to the complement of this hole in this upper half plane. And so that means, since any doubly connected domain can be mapped to an annulus, that means the radii of those annuli, the ratio of the radii of those annuli agree. Let's assume that there's a conformal map psi which goes from left to the right, and let's assume that the sets are chosen so that in fact psi of 0 is 0 and also psi of infinity is infinity. Under this assumption, now you can ask, so what I'm interested in is the probability that gamma does not intersect this, let's call this A, let's call this here A tilde, does not intersect A. Okay. And we all know there's a nice expression for this: if A is a hull, which means if it's connected to the boundary. So, and Befauer's idea was to use that formula to get at least a relation between the probability that gamma avoids A and the probability that gamma avoids A tilde. And the that's a very nice idea. So we know what to do if we had, in addition to A, some bridge which connects A to the real line, and which avoids which connects A to the real line. And well, if you think about this, of course you can. If gamma avoids A, then there has to be some bridge like this which connects A to the real line, which avoids gamma. So we can rewrite the event that gamma avoids A as a union of events that gamma avoids A plus some bridge from A to the boundary. Of course, there are very many bridges of this kind. If you take, for instance, there's a countable dense set of such bridges and the set of all bridges. If you put, for instance, a topology of uniform convergence on compact subintervals, then you can show that there's a countable dense set of such bridges in the set of all bridges, which means you can write this event as it's the union of the events gamma and A union, I don't know, let's call this bridge Bn equals empty, and then we have here a countable union. So there has to be some bridge, and there's a countable dense set of bridges. There has to be one of those bridges which connects A to the boundary without hitting gamma. And we know the probabilities for each of those events. So if you're interested now in the probability of gamma intersects A equals MT, so then this is the probability of this union. And so then we can use, this is a countable union, so we get, this is the limit of the probabilities that this finite union here. And let's call this A union BN AN. Gamma and AN is empty. Now, for the probability of a finite union, we have an inclusion-exclusion formula. So if we throw that in, so then we have here K from 1 to N, and then we have J1, JK, the minus one. And then the probability of the intersection of those events where the layer index runs from J1 through JK. And so the intersection of that gamma, if gamma doesn't intersect, let's say A1 and doesn't intersect A2, that means it doesn't intersect the union of A1 and A2. So this is the probability that gamma intersects union k, I equals 1 to k, a, j, I. Okay. So this is just writing this in terms of the inclusion-exclusion formula. Okay. So now we need to use something. For the probability for any one of those, we have an explicit expression in terms of a certain conformal map, what this probability is. The probability that gamma and an, this is empty, is the derivative of phi sub an at, in this picture here, 0 raised to the 5/8. And so the phi, so this is A, this is Bn, let's assume we have here, so this is the map phi. So then phi maps so phi removes B, N, and A, so looks something like this. Okay, and then so here is zero. So phi is the unique conformal map which sends. So phi goes from H minus A N to H, and it fixes zero. It fixes infinity. In fact, and we choose that it grows with rate 1 at infinity, so phi of V over Z approaches 1 as Z goes to infinity. So in this this is a nice this is a multiplicative property argument that you exploit here. You get a multiplicative semigroup which from which you can derive that this probability has to be given by this derivative at zero. Okay. So we want to relate the probability that we avoid A with the probability that we avoid A tilde. Now we can write this probability in terms of this map phi. So this is phi prime at zero, and then for this set union I equals 1 to k AJI raised to the 5/8. So, and to relate this to the probability over here, we'll just relate the map which removes A and BN with a map which removes over here A tilde and BN tilde. A tilde, BN tilde. So what is the relation here between so phi, so on the left hand side it was so this AJ1 union AJK. To remove the set, we could also first we move by psi over here, and then we move with the map which removes this set on the right hand side. So this is phi of A J1 tilde union A J K tilde. So first we had to go with psi. And then since psi fixes zero and infinity, phi fixes zero and infinity, the only thing we have to worry about in terms of actually getting the right map here is the normalization at infinity, that it grows of rate 1. Psi, we can't we only know that psi of z over z tends to lambda as z goes to infinity. And the fact that this ratio tends to lambda is sometimes written in one natural normalization, or in, you know, choosing charts, you say that psi prime at infinity is 1 over this limit, psi of z over z, z to infinity. Okay. So, but this, if psi grows like lambda z at infinity, then when we compose psi with the map over here, then the composition grows like lambda z at infinity, because the map from here to here grows like z at infinity. So that means this is not quite correct, but when we divide here by lambda, then it becomes correct. Okay. So and then so this I relate those two removal maps, and then what we need actually for the probability is the derivative at zero. If we take the derivative, zero, all these maps involved fix zero, so we get that phi prime of AJ1 union AJK of zero is 1 over lambda. So 1 over lambda, according to the way this is defined, so this is 1 over lambda, this is just psi prime at infinity. Then we get here the derivative of phi for these tilde sets, aj1 tilde, ajk tilde, prime at 0, and then we get here psi prime at 0. Which means we can express this probability in terms of this product here on the right-hand side. Now this the function psi does not depend on the aj's, on the j's. Yeah. So that means we can pull it outside the sums and the limit, and then what we are left with is simply, so we get psi prime of 0 times psi prime at infinity raised to the 5/8, and then here we get this same expression now, and then we have here phi prime for the tilde sets at 0, but that's again, that's the probability the gamma doesn't intersect the union of the tilde sets. So, and then if we go this argument backwards, we get that's the probability that gamma doesn't intersect A tilde. Okay. So that means in this way we can relate those two probabilities, and we don't we get the ratio. We see what it is.
Is this just a notation question, curiosity?
Yes.
I'm used to calling psi infinity 1 over what you call.
Yes.
Standard notation?
Well, so it's standard in the sense if you think of phi being a map from the Riemann surface to a Riemann surface, and then you want to look at, well, how does Gave at infinity? You take the charge at infinity to be, if you take the charge at 0 to be z, you take 1 over z, and then it maps to a Riemann sphere, and then again you take the charge at infinity to be 1 over the charge you take, you know, in the complex plane. Then you would look at it's natural in that sense, and so you find it in some texts, but it's not
natural not being the limit if z goes to infinity as z times z.
No, in that sense, it's not. Yeah,
yeah. That's the rest of the I already forget.
Yes. So it's.
But I have to put the ball, that's one over C times.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nicer for that, maybe, yeah. And it's, and there's, you know, from a certain geometric point of view, it has some, you know, it's natural in a sense, but, yeah. But so it says what it means is this, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this relates these two probabilities, and in a way, you can also think of this formula itself is being really relating two probabilities, namely, you may as well add on the right-hand side is times the probability that gamma intersects phi an of an doesn't intersect that. And of course, this is known. So this is, of course, you know, this is just saying that gamma stays in the upper half plane, which happens with probability 1. That's a calculation that uses different, you look at a Bessel equation for Bessel process and look at the parameters, and you find that this probability is 1. Yeah. So in that sense, this formula 2, what shows up here is, again, I mean, this formula looks just like this formula, because in that case, the derivative at infinity is 1. Yeah. And it's again a quotient, only that in this case, when it's connected to the boundary, we know what this probability is. So it remains to be seen what is this probability. Yes. So here comes the second idea then. So for one thing, now we know that we can relate the probabilities. If they're holes that we want to avoid, conformally equivalent, we have an explicit expression how we relate those probabilities in terms of the map, which gives us the conformal equivalence, this map psi. Huh? Maybe I should leave this formula here. Gamma A MT equals psi prime 0. So that means if they're conformally equivalent as doubly connected domains, we get an explicit relation. So let's choose a standard kind of domain that is doubly doubly connected. So we take an annulus. So here the outer circle is just the unit circle. Here is 1. The inner circle is radius q. And so I'm looking here for probabilities for chordal SLE 8/3. So I start somewhere on the outer boundary. Let's call this point x. And the chordal SLE is supposed to go to grow towards 1. Yeah. So let's study this probability for this particular problem, for the annulus. Yes, and so now we need to find an appropriate martingale. So so for this, let's rewrite this probability. So let's call this A. Let's call this Q times unit disk U. In fact, let me introduce a couple more pictures. So, so if this, this nice expression, this is the expression for the upper half plane. So we need to go back and forth between the upper half plane and annuli, and so that's why I wanted to draw these pictures. So we have the upper half plane, and then we have a map which takes us from the upper half plane to the unit disk, which sends infinity to 1. And then here is x. Let's say this is w here is u inverse of x. I think the convention is it takes I to. Let me not be so mysterious. So we take for u, u is z minus I over z plus I. Fair enough. So and then we have our SLE curve up in here. And then we have this interior set we want to avoid. All the pre-image. Actually, I'm not sure what it looks. I don't know what it looks like up in here. What does the pre-image look like? Does anybody? It certainly doesn't look so unsymmetric. But that's okay. Let me. Not a good. That's a pre-image of that. So here we have u, and then we have gt. Let's suppose this here is gamma t, and gt removes the slit. Maybe this here is then the tip of the slit. This is wt. Of course, this perturbs this this thing here, maybe it looks something like this. I don't know. And then we can map this again over here with u. So then we have the unit disk, and then we had here, maybe this is the image of the slit. Then when we remove it, this lands somewhere here, and maybe this looks something like this. So as we fix infinity with GT, 1 goes to 1. And let's call this point here XT. Okay. So what I want to find is the probability as a function of for this blue curve avoiding this inner disk of radius q. So this depends on two parameters here. It depends on x, where it is in locate in relation to 1, and on the radius of the inner circle. So when I go through this map, I get, you know, this picture here, and I don't have this inner disk anymore. So I want to fix this to go back to this kind of an image. It's an annulus. And so here's another so I have this map. It's coming from up here, coming down here. Let's call this ST. And it sends 1 to 1. And let's call the image of, let's say this is now here. And let's call this point here YT. And this map is such so that it removes the blue slit but sends us to an annulus, so again to the standard domain. So the annulus, of course, the annulus with a slit is thinner as an annulus as the annulus without the slit. So this should maybe look something like this to exaggerate. Maybe. So this the radius here, let's call this Q sub T. Okay, yeah. So this here was Q. Okay. So and then we also will need to go back to the upper half plane. So here's the U inverse. Okay. Yeah, so so here's this where the this is U inverse of YT. And we have something. Yes, this is a circle, so this should be a circle, as you can see. And, okay, so okay, so if we go all the way around here, from start at the top, go to the right, go down, and then go left, then we have a conformal equivalence between H minus the hole on the top and H minus this hole on the bottom. Not between H minus the hole and the blue slit on the top, and H minus this hole on the bottom. Okay, and if we just go from here to here, so this is really the if you go from here to here, then we have a conformal equivalence between this upper half plane minus this hole and upper half plane minus that hole. So this is exactly the situation. So this is the situation that to which this result here speaks. Okay. So now I want to use that to get a martingale from this probability here. Okay. So we write this as the expectation of the indicator of the probability is the expectation of the indicator. And so now I want to be a little bit more specific about what gamma is here. So gamma, it's always an SLE 8/3, but so gamma is the SLE 8/3 in the unit disk. Okay, you see this U. And it starts at X and it goes to 1. And this is supposed to not intersect QU. Now we take a conditional expectation. So then this becomes, so I want a condition here on the beginning of the path from time 0 to time t. So I want to have here a conditional expectation of this indicator. But I can write this indicator as the product of indicators. So in contrast to some of the talks that we had here, we'll be fairly pedantic. So people of different backgrounds are here, so it's maybe helpful, but it also helps me to present the argument. Okay, so the indicator that we're interested in, that gamma doesn't intersect QU, is the product of the indicators that the first part up to time t doesn't intersect QU And the second part doesn't the rest doesn't intersect. Indicator gamma T infinity and QU is empty. Okay. So if a condition on the beginning, on the path up to time, the slit up to time T, then this is measurable relative to this sigma algebra, so we can pull it outside of the expectation. So this is gamma U X1 QU. That's going to be hard to read from the back. And then we have here the expectation of condition expectation of this indicator here. Now gamma T infinity, we can, this is the same as, we can map this with G, well, so what do we need to map this with? So gamma T is up in here, is this blue up on the right, so we have to, we can map this, for instance, by taking this back with your inverse and then take it, go down with GT over here. So this is so this is GT composed with U inverse of gamma T infinity and GT composed with U inverse of QU equals MT. It remains empty after we map it with this conformal equivalence. But now, what is this? So this is the SLE in the disk. There should be this D in here from x to 1. When we map it with U inverse, we get that takes us back to the SLE in the upper half plane, from W to infinity. And then that's the part from time t on, and then we remove the first part of the slit with gt, and this is, if you condition on the first part of the slit, then this is independent of what happened, of the beginning, and so that, so this is again, so this gives us again an SLE, but now in the in the upper half plane. So let me first put this, so we have this here, we condition on, this here is, let me just say this here is independent of gamma zero t, and it's again, is an SLE 8/3 in H from WT to infinity. Just go in this picture. So we had this slit, we go down here, and this would be this this is the dotted line is the tail. So this gives us again an SLE 8/3 independent of gamma zero T. So we can put here the indicator of, well, so it gives us an SLE 8/3 independent of this here, but the conditional expectation of the variables independent of sigma algebra we are conditioning on is just the expectation. So it's the expectation of the indicator that SLE in the upper half plane from WT to infinity doesn't intersect GT U inverse of QU. Okay. Okay. So, but this is, of course, this is just the probability of this event that this tail doesn't intersect this purple blob. So now we can relate this probability with this probability using the formula we had at the beginning. So this is indicator gamma in the unit disk from x to 1 doesn't intersect QU times, and then we have here probability that SLE in the upper half plane, and now we have to sort of go to the corresponding points from here. So from this is U inverse of YT to infinity doesn't intersect this distorted circle down there. So and this is actually the circle. Let me introduce one more map to give you more letters to think about. So from here to here, this is called HT. Well, that means we can go from here to here by taking U composed with HT composed with U inverse. This is what we take. So that means then we get here U inverse composed with HT composed with U. Yeah, I'm running out of space. Composed with GT composed with U inverse of that QU. This is to be empty. Okay, and then times this factor here. So times for this function psi, which is U inverse composed with HT composed with U, times U inverse composed with HT composed with U prime at WT to the 5/8 times U inverse composed with HT and composed with U prime at infinity to the 5/8. So because we took here a conditional expectation to get this, this means that in fact this probability times this product here is a martingale, at least as long as this doesn't happen. As long as we don't, by time t, we haven't hit this inner disk. So this gives us the martingale. So we started with this probability, and then we looked at this event. We took the conditional expectation, and the conditional expectation is equal to this this product here, at least as long as this first part here is equal to 1. And that that means that if on gamma 0 t, when the first part of the curve after time t doesn't intersect QU, we have probability gamma H from U inverse YT to infinity intersects U inverse HT U GT U inverse of QU equals NT times this product, let's call this psi prime WT psi prime infinity to the 5/8, and this psi depends on T itself. This is a martingale. And in fact, so let's rewrite, let's go back here, write this in terms of, this is the SLE in the upper half plane from U inverse YT to infinity. Let's go back to this picture here. What is this in terms of this picture here? So if we apply U over here, and then apply H, let's see, apply U here, then we get an SLE in the unit disk from YT to 1. And that intersects HT of U of GT of U inverse of QU is, you follow all the arrows, so HT, so we go first with, where did we start? QU, so we go with as we start up here, And then we go with U inverse over here, then we go with GT, and we start on the top on the right, we go with to the top on the left with GT down here, then with U, and then with HT. So we land here. So this is the probability that an S will E 8/3 in the disk, in this disk down here, from YT, doesn't intersect this part here. So this is QTU. This part here. This probability is the same as that probability. So now we have, so this is the martingale I want to study. This is the probability that I wanted, yeah? This is the probability that SLE in the unit disk from some point on the boundary to 1 doesn't hit a disk in the inside of radius QT. So this by itself is not a martingale, but if you multiply it with this product, it is a martingale. So that gives us then, we're interested in this function here, let's call this here F of ln QT e to the I mu t. So this is this way. So mu t, where e to the I mu t equals y t. Okay. So then we get it means that this function times this product here, the martingale we look at the Itô derivative of this expression and see what it means that the drift term vanishes. Okay. Okay. So those are two very two basic ideas to get. Oh, we have already. Should already be power. What is? I think. Okay, so these are not really slides what I have. This is the beginning of typing this this paper. But I just wanted sort of to show you some of the equations. And I mean, sort of the point is now to find this, you know, find the Itô differential of this martingale and see what happens with kappa equals 8/3 and alpha, that exponent 5/8. So there's nothing. So U was this, see if this is visible at all from far away. So U was this this map which takes us from the upper half plane to the unit disk. Its inverse looks like this, and so the point is its derivative at the U inverse has a simple expression in terms of this point. This is just the Korolev-Lefner equation in the upper half plane. And if you look at it sort of structurally speaking, there's this the vector field on the right hand side has a pole with residue 2 at WT. Yeah. And this is what's responsible for, I mean, this tells you at what rate it grows. It's the residue at the pole. If you map this chordal SLE in the upper half plane to the unit disk using this map D, then we get again, you know, a differential equation for this push forward of this mapping. Now this is U inverse GTU. This is in this picture here. So we have the differential equation for GT. I want the differential equation which takes us from this. You can only from over there. You can only see a little bit of this. Disk, but from here to here, so that's going around these composing these three maps, and you just write down what then the vector field is. This is straightforward, and so what you see again, it's of the same kind. It's it has a single pole at U inverse of x t, it has a single pole at z equals x t, and that pole now has residue 2 times the derivative of U. at xt. And so this is when you see what is the time change that's induced by mapping an SLE, then I mean you could just look at the, I mean one way is you just look at the residue of the vector field, and in that sense we'll use that in a moment. The residue, so as I mentioned, for the rate at which the curve grows in the unit disk is then given by this expression over here in terms of the residue. Okay, so now when we go to the annulus, in the annulus, we need to look at this problem of if you have an annulus with a slit inside of it. This was this picture up here on the right. If you want to remove the slit but land on an annulus, so that means you want to find the conformally equivalent annulus to the annulus with a slit, then this leads again to a Loewenet equation, but now in a doubly connected domain. This was first studied by Komatu in the 40s and in the 40s, in fact, and so he found the following differential equation here for the or the Loewenet type equation for the annulus then, and this vector free psi now is given in terms of elliptic functions and associated functions. So here this I don't know if anybody can read any of this. So zeta is the Weierstrass zeta function. Omega is the function with periods omega 1 and omega 2. Eta 1 is zeta 1 at with periods 2 omega 1, 2 omega 2. Eta 1 is zeta at omega 1. And so it's if you're familiar with elliptic functions, then all of this is well known to you. The way you choose those. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's. I mean, I tried different sort of. I tried it in different scenarios. I also tried it sort of go take the exponential map and look at like a whole bunch of copies and so forth, with so to be more in the typical coordinate system for elliptic functions. But in the end, I found this easier somehow, easier to parcel the computation into different problems and, you know, and work each through instead of one big computation. I mean, there may be different coordinate systems which are convenient, but also it's in terms of it's clear with a annulus, it's clear that they are what the two parameters are for your probability, the radius for the inner disk and where you are on the outer boundary, that starting point x. So that's so if you're on the upper half plane, then you have to choose then you always have the problem with scalings and so forth, you know, with rescaling. So the if you rescale the upper half plane with a hole, then you get conformally equivalent upper half plane with a hole, and so but you get exactly one representative with the annulus.
You can look at it in different pictures, but this is the one I pushed the furthest.
So this is the that's the other thing I tried, but it's somehow it didn't help me to I looked at this picture when you have end up with something like you have these you have sort of multiple copies of the slit growing, and you identify these sites, and the beginning, I can write all down everything in this picture as well, but somehow, it didn't seem to me to make it simpler, but it's maybe just a personal preference. The Q, that inner radius is related to those periods in this way, and that shows you that you, in fact, you can choose one of those periods, and later on I will choose omega 1 equal to pi, which makes formulas simpler. So what is remarkable, or what is noteworthy just in terms of structure here,
this vector field is again holomorphic. It has a single pole, and the residue at the pole is given by minus 2 times where the pole is located. And then you can also find further properties. So this vector field is such, and it has to be such, that the inner disk is pushed out at a constant, you know, rate in all directions. So it's just the inner disk just grows linearly. That's the way this this vector field is normalized. And now if you change the time parameter, then you get and look then for the Loewenet equation, then you just get this. And instead of looking for the equation for L and F, in fact, Greg this morning also looked at in the radial case. I mean, looked at the Loewenet equation for L and F. And so if you go to F then itself, you get this additional factor, and you get this factor from the time change. And then you see that the residue now, because of these two factors, the residue now is minus 2yt squared times this factor from the time change here. So the residues is what we will have to compare. Okay. So in terms of these maps now, ft is the one which removes the slit from the annulus, takes us to an annulus. This map ht in between here, from here to here, is given by this composition here. And so what we need for, recall, psi t is the composition of these maps, and we need the derivative of this map, and then we need the stochastic differential of this derivative. So we need in particular the derivative, the time derivative of ht. And now ht is special in the sense that if you look at the perturbation of the boundary, I mean, if you look at ht for different t's, then its domain, its domain changes smoothly. If you look at the Loewenet equation with the slit, then the change of the domain is not smooth because there's a slit growing into the domain. But over here in this picture, as time evolves, there's a smooth change of the boundary of the domain. And what this tells you, in fact, is that the derivative of ht extends continuously to the boundary. That means the vector field for the derivative of ht has no pole, which means when you write down what the vector field is for ht, because it's this product, you get a sum of two terms, and then the continuity tells you, well, the residues have to cancel, and that gives you, tells you what the time parameterization is. Yeah. And so if you go through this, then you find this expression for the derivative of ht, and you find that, in fact, the reparameterization you need to take for the Komatsu-Loewenet equation is given by this function here. Yeah. So this is sort of the basic deterministic setup, what you need to calculate everything. So with this now, to simplify things, I set one of the periods equal to pi. It throws out some numbers. And so now we can and I also drop the subscript t when the time subscript. So once we have this, we can find the time derivative for the derivative of h. Just by differentiating, we get more terms. So now, and this p is the Weierstrass p function. Now what we need is for this formula, which relates the probabilities, we need the derivative of ht at the point xt, and we need the derivative of ht at 1, and the time development of at those two points. And so we need to take the limit as z goes to x. And so if we do this for, we will need this for h as well. We find this, and this is, in fact, you can find this very same formula in Julia Dubedin's paper on critical percolation and SLE 6 in annuli. In that case, you only need to analyze the function h itself and its time derivative. Yeah. But in this case, we also have to analyze the time derivative of the derivative of h. And using the explicit formulas where if you can just calculate this is what this time derivative is at the point where the tip sits. Okay, so, and now I can do all of this stochastically. In fact, let me jump over this. Go on. Okay. So here we see to start to see, you know, where these different things cancel. So why is this? This is this map, what I call psi t, which relates the two doubly connected domains for which we are interested in the differential of the derivative. And in fact, so we raise it to the power alpha, we'll be raising it to the power 5/8 because that's the right exponent for SLE 8/3. Then you see sort of this term here will drop out if kappa is equal to 8/3, and this, I mean, this, and then we have these terms which will drop out if the relationship between kappa and alpha is, if alpha is 6 minus kappa over 2 kappa. Yeah. I'm coming closer to the. So here's one really big differential, and then we'll cancel everything that can be canceled. So this is again, this y is the derivative of this map psi at the point where the tip grows. More derivatives means more terms. That's why it gets so long. But now we see that it's clear. So these two terms will drop out, but for any kappa choosing the alpha right, we'll kill these two terms and this term as well. And then once we choose alpha according to kappa right, then the right choice of alpha kappa will in fact kill this term as well. So if you write this in terms of Schwarz and derivatives, for making this choice now for alpha in terms of kappa, alpha is 3 over kappa minus 1/2, then a lot of these terms cancel, and up to a local martingale we have just this. And so we see here this last term here will be, the Schwarzian derivative will disappear once we set kappa equal to 8/3. And then that means now if you want to look at the differential equation here, if you drop the last term out, if you set alpha equals 5/8, kappa equals 8/3, get this equation. But in fact, this is not the equation that I want to show you, because it's missing. It's not the one should be looking at, because that one didn't involve the derivative of the differential of h prime at 1. We need both these terms, and the derivative at 1 actually is not constant for this map here. But you can write down what it is. It's not very hard. And let me, in fact, I will spare you that part. But if you put that down, then you find the following for. For this function to be a martingale, we need the following. So let h be f times, f is this probability here, f times sine nu over 2 to the minus 5/4, and then h has to satisfy minus del a h. A is ln of q. Equals 4/3 del nu h plus 2 del nu ln of theta 1. This is the Jacobi theta function, nu over 2 pi del nu h plus 5 over 8 second nu derivative of ln theta 1 of nu over 2 pi minus 2 eta 1 over pi times h. Okay. So this is the probability we want as a function of the radius of the inner disk and where we start. So this is nu t. If you multiply it with this term, then this product has to satisfy this equation. It looks a little bit like mu. So e to the i xt equals nu t. E to the I yt. E to the I nu t equals yt. And this is where am I at right now? This of course looks a little bit like a heat equation, and you may know that the theta functions satisfy this kind of a heat equation in terms of if you take as time parameter the period ratio, essentially, and if you take as space parameter here the argument here. The problem is, of course, in terms of heat equations, the coefficients depend on A. Yeah, you can't separate you can't separate variables. But still, it looks fairly. After all these, it seems most everything drops out, and there should be a nice expression for what this actually is. Maybe there is one. Yes. So maybe somebody has an idea. So I will stop at this point. Thank you.